This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Many Americans buy tuna fish that says dolphin safe on the can. That label is intended to indicate that the tuna have been caught in ways that do not harm dolphins in the process. The U.S. currently has an embargo against tuna caught by Mexican fishing boats because Americans claim too many dolphins are killed. This embargo has been the subject of controversy in international trade relations. In the next few minutes, we'll hear from an environmentalist and an environmental lawyer who've worked for the Dolphin Safe labeling and support the embargo. We'll also hear from a Mexican fisherman who feels his country is being unfairly punished. First, environmentalist Sam Labuddy. He's a biologist with the Earth Island Institute. In 1987, Labuddy took a job on a tuna fishing boat in Mexico registered under Panama. His secret motive was to make a videotape that would document the slaughter of dolphins in the tuna fishing process. He succeeded, and the tape popularized the movement to protect dolphins. He told me how he kept the captain and crew from being suspicious of his motives.
I basically told him the truth, that I was a biologist who was somewhat disillusioned with some aspects of the American way of life, who wanted to learn Spanish and see the Amazon and the Andes, and that I thought that by getting a job on a tuna boat, I could work my way south and make some money. And when we, day before we left, I showed, or about 20 minutes before we left, actually, I showed up with this little 8mm video camera and said, "Hey guys, look at this neat toy my wealthy retired father has given me so he can see all the things that his firstborn son's going to do that he'll never get to see." It's a little bit like writing a fiction. You have to get a contract with your, you know, readers, and after you establish that, you can pretty much lead them just about anywhere. So I basically just took home movies for 4 months on board this vessel. And observed what happened and watched them routinely hunt down and kill hundreds and hundreds of dolphins in the course of their fishing operations.
Describe what you consider to be some of the most important tape that you shot. Describe what you saw.
I think perhaps the most important segment was a start-to-finish documentation of this school of 50 common dolphins that we caught, and I remember how very beautiful and perfect they seemed leaping out of the water side by side, mothers and children together, very much like an extended family. They would all come up and cycle for air at the same time and then disappear for a couple minutes, I believe probably looking for a way out of the net. And what happened during this fishing operation was that we killed every one of them. They were all drowned, and at one point they were very close to the side of the boat, trapped under the net, trying to force enough slack in the net so they could clear their blowholes out of the water and breathe, and we drowned every one of these animals. There was also footage that showed us we got about 1,500 Costa Rican spinner dolphins inside the net one day, and I mean, there were only supposed to be 9,000 of these animals in the entire world in 1980, and we killed hundreds of them. We probably wiped out 5 to 10% of this one species in the course of a single afternoon. Because we were trying to catch tuna, and as it turned out, we only caught, like, I believe it was one large yellowfin tuna in that entire operation and killed, as I said, 5 to 10% of this, you know, the world population of this species. It was just, I mean, it's hard to describe in words, but if you can imagine somebody trying to, what it looks like to drown a regiment of cavalry at sea, or to watch hundreds of these animals that, you know, have brains as larger than human beings being systematically hunted down, maimed, tortured, wrapped up in the nets, crushed in the machinery, and just treated like so much, I don't know, garbage. It was very depressing. I many times felt like something inside of me was dying. It was almost spiritually crippling to see how little respect that human beings could have for sentient life.
Can you describe why tuna fishing, why a certain approach to tuna fishing ends up killing dolphins?
Well, there's in the eastern tropical Pacific, that's the part of the Pacific Ocean off the west coast of Central America and Mexico, there's a biological anomaly where these large adult yellowfin tuna that we eat as light tuna school up underneath herds of dolphins. This is a relationship between the dolphins and the tuna that doesn't take place anywhere else in the world to any significant degree. And about 30 years ago, the fishermen, rather than throwing live bait into the water when they would see the dolphins and tuna swimming together and working the tuna into a feeding frenzy where they would bite at anything that moved, including the unbaited hooks that the fishermen would dangle over the side of the boat, about 30 years ago, somebody decided, wow, if we put a giant mile-long net all the way around the dolphin herd, circular wall of net that's very deep and close it from the bottom, we can catch all the tuna at once. And the problem was that there was no provision or forethought given to the livelihood of the dolphins. And as a consequence, they started killing about 500,000 dolphins a year and have absolutely decimated several populations of Pacific dolphins as a consequence. This is an unnecessary and easy to see a very brutal way to fish for tuna fish. It accounts presently for only about 2 or 3% of the total annual harvest of the world's tuna. And there's lots of other alternatives to not, you know, engender the whole-scale slaughter of the dolphin populations. It's just a way for some very wealthy fishermen to make more money faster.
My guest is environmentalist Sam Labuddy. Now, let me see if I have this straight. Basically, yellowfin tuna swim beneath dolphins. So if you sight the dolphins, you'll know the tuna are underneath, and they end up, a certain kind of netting technique ends up getting both the dolphins and the tuna. Is there any way of letting the dolphins go when you net the dolphins with the tuna?
Well, one of the problems is that even when the there have been attempts to develop things called back down procedures to let the dolphins out of the net once they're captured, but the problem is that the dolphins start dying as a consequence of this type of fishing even before they're inside the nets. For a dolphin whose dolphins are communities. Their ability to survive in an environment that is hostile to mammalian life depends on their coherence as a social unit. And when you start chasing them with speed boats, when you start buzzing them with helicopters, when you start jamming their sonar with sonar equipment on board the vessels and throwing explosives at them and chasing them, what happens is you pretty much start tearing asunder the fabric of that community. You start breaking down their ability to maintain their defensive posture in this environment that is filled with sharks and where they depend on one another to forage for food and to survive. And so what happens is in the course of, before these dolphins are even in the nets, you have things happening like mothers spontaneously aborting fetuses. They stop lactating. The newborn dolphins and some of the older dolphins get separated from the herd. Many times the herd will fragment and they'll lose each other. And so what happens is even before these dolphins are captured in the net, you already have a certain level of mortality and attrition going on to the herd.
Some tuna fish now says dolphin safe on the label. What does that mean?
It means that those companies and that do not purchase, process, manufacture, or pack any tuna caught in ways that are known to kill dolphins. It means that companies like H.J. Heinz, Starkist, which is the biggest tuna company in the world and which was the first company to announce a dolphin-safe policy, will not buy, process, or sell, or pack, or touch in any way any tuna that was caught by purse seining on dolphins, with drift nets, with gill nets, or with any other technology, fishing technology that is known to kill dolphins. And this is a policy, these are policies that are international in their scope. It means they affect all sister, parent, and affiliate companies of Heinz Starkist, for instance. And it means that these companies have passed the criteria that was established by Earth Island Institute and the other 40 groups of the Dolphin Coalition in Washington, D.C.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Sam Labuddy. He's an environmentalist, and he's been at the forefront of the movement to prevent the killing of dolphins in tuna nets. A few years ago, he went undercover on a Mexican tuna boat under a Panamanian flag, and he filmed tuna fishing expeditions in which dolphins were killed or maimed, and that footage helped lead to an American embargo against tuna from countries that use a netting technique which ends up killing dolphins. Sam Labuddy now is a biologist with the environmental group Earth Island Institute. We'll take a short break, then we'll be back, and we'll be joined as well by Josh Flom, who's an environmental lawyer. This is Fresh Air. With me is environmentalist Sam Labuddy, and also with us is Josh Flom, an environmental lawyer who just got back from the GATT talks in Geneva. GATT stands for the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade. And he went there in support of the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Josh Flom, what are the United States regulations now surrounding tuna fishing?
Well, one of the things that Sam did with his very powerful film is he went to Congress and graphically illustrated to Congress the types of things that were actually going out there in the high seas. As a result of Congress being aware of the type of carnage that was going on, in 1988, it amended the Marine Mammal Protection Act to really toughen up the law and to provide environmental lawyers with some ammunition to try to do something to stop the dolphin slaughter. One of the things that Congress did in 1988 was to implement a law which would mandate the embargo of tuna imports from countries who slaughtered dolphins in numbers far exceeding those of the U.S. fleet.
Right now, the United States has an embargo against the countries that use the netting technique that kills a lot of dolphins during the process of tuna fishing. Now that embargo was recently extended against countries that import tuna from countries that use these netting techniques, can the tuna and export it to the United States, right?
That's correct.
So some of the countries that import the tuna can it and export it back to the United States include Japan, France, and Italy. Now, this has all come up at the GATT talks, the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade. What's the controversy in the GATT talks over these embargoes?
Well, the Bush administration opposed us in U.S. federal court when we got these embargoes in the first place. And what happened after the tuna from Mexico, from Venezuela, and Vanuatu was embargoed, because those countries killed hundreds of thousands of dolphins each year, even though largely as a result of Earth Island's efforts, the kill rate for the U.S. fleet has gone down dramatically. Mexico decided that it would stop seeking help from the Bush administration to fight us in U.S. federal court and instead challenged the entire U.S. law at GATT. GATT is a free trade agreement, and it was originally signed by some 100 countries back in the 40s when there really wasn't a whole lot of environmental awareness. Mexico brought a petition in front of a three-judge GATT panel contending that the U.S. law violated the free trade agreement because it prohibited free trade. The U.S. law would not allow them to export their tuna to the United States because they were killing too many dolphins. And Mexico essentially argued that there is no room for environmentalism in the context of global trade. So we had to escalate our battle to save the dolphins, if you will, from U.S. federal court and in the U.S. appellate courts, because we've been opposed every step of the way by U.S. fishermen, foreign fishermen, and unfortunately the very government officials who should be protecting dolphins. We've had to go defend the U.S. law at GATT, and I was in Geneva several weeks ago, and that was my purpose.
So Mexico is making the case that this embargo against the tuna fishing process that kills dolphins really is a violation of free trade laws.
Mexico argues that you, United States, you might have tougher environmental laws than us. You might have higher environmental morality than us, if you will. But who are you to impose your worldview on us? After all, there are dolphins. They swim off the coast of our waters. And you should not be able to legislate extraterritorially, is how they put it. The problem with Mexico's argument is that if one accepts that notion that domestic laws and treaty laws that restrict free trade violate GATT, then a whole range of environmental laws, which are very important to the world and to us, would also be in danger. For example, you might be familiar with CITES, which is the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species. That was the vehicle used to ban the ivory trade. The European community has a law that prohibits the importation of baby fur seal skins because people all around the world were outraged when they saw film of people clubbing baby fur seals to death just for their pelts. All of those laws would fall by the wayside if one accepts the argument that you cannot restrict free trade for environmental purposes, and I think that would be a shame. I expect the GATT court to rise to this historic occasion. This is the first time that environmental law has ever been before GATT, to find that in some instances, short-term profits have to give way to the environment. And I think in the long term, not only does it help the environment, but it will help the world economy.
Josh Flom is an attorney with the Earth Island Institute and the Marine Mammal Fund. We also heard from environmental activist Sam Labuddy. We called Felipe Sherratt. He's a Mexican fisherman and the president of the Tuna Association of Mexico. He says the dolphin population is really growing every year, and environmentalists are exaggerating the threat that tuna fishing poses to dolphins. He told me that Mexico is being unfairly punished by the tuna embargo.
The United States has a quota on the number of dolphins that can be killed in the fisheries with tuna. That number of dolphins is a unilateral and arbitrary decision made in Washington at the political level. It has absolutely no relationship in the basis of science. It has absolutely no relationship whatsoever in international law. Let's talk about science. The dolphin population in the eastern tropical Pacific is anywhere from 8 to 12 million dolphins. A U.S. administrative judge decided that 10 million was a number to be used. The gross reproduction rate of dolphins in the eastern tropical Pacific is 11%. The net reproduction rate is 4%. Therefore, approximately 400,000 dolphins will increase each year. The total dolphin mortality in the eastern tropical Pacific for 1991, if the year continues the way it started, according to the Inter-American Tropical Tuna Commission, will probably not exceed 40,000 dolphins. The dolphin population in the eastern tropical Pacific is growing, so much so that in January, in La Jolla, California, the National Marine Fisheries Service, which has had an ongoing program to monitor the evolution and the trend in the population of dolphins in the eastern tropical Pacific, came to the conclusion that the stocks were doing well enough and the trend was good enough that they no longer needed to monitor it every year and to make use of those funds for other purposes. That proposition was submitted to a vote and was approved by the powers to be in La Jolla. So the same U.S. government is no longer concerned about the trend in the population of dolphins, so much so that they've given up monitoring it and have decided to make use of the funds for other purposes.
Is your group trying to do anything to pressure the United States to end the embargo against Mexican tuna?
We are trying to communicate to the United States that the decisions they've made are incorrect, both in the basis of science and in the basis of law. The United States is a sovereign nation. It can do what it wants to within its own borders and with its own fleet. We do not believe, according to international law, that the United States can unilaterally tell the world what it must do. These things are generally agreed to as multilateral agreements, and when what the United States does flies in the face of science, then you're adding insult to injury.
You still run tuna fishing vessels, yes?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the tuna fishing technique you use?
I use the very same technique that has been evolved and used by the American boat owners and the American fleet. And the net result is that we have as efficient a release rate right now in 1991 as the U.S. fleet. However, what I do want to communicate to you is that in order to fish successfully in the eastern tropical Pacific, we must do it by setting on dolphins. If we cannot do it by setting on dolphins, two things happen. First of all, the fisheries is economically unsustainable. And what I'm saying is no longer a question of hypotheses or theory. The fact of the matter is that until April 12, 1990, there were 29 American vessels fishing in the eastern tropical Pacific. As a result of the decision made, there are right now only 3 vessels left fishing for tuna in the eastern tropical Pacific by the U.S. fleet. We also find fascinating the fact that other countries, such as Japan, have fisheries who dedicate their effort ex professo only to fishing on dolphins, which they then sell in their internal markets. I have received many letters from environmental groups in the United States soliciting funds so that dolphins can be saved. I have heard Starkist announce publicly that they did not believe that a single dolphin should die. At the same time, we know that there are nations who fish and kill tens of thousands of dolphins. I have yet to hear an environmental group or a commercial company saying, do not buy Toyotas until the Japanese stop killing dolphins. And this dichotomy, this express focus only on Mexico, without focusing on anything else that's going on in the world, and we in Mexico, who are doing everything we can to minimize the dolphin mortality and assure that the dolphin population grows while trying to feed our people, create jobs, and create currency to pay our debts, are being punished. And the other people who fish on purpose on dolphin or who do not have observers and work without people knowing what is happening are being rewarded. And their tune is called Dolphin Safe, because there's nobody there to tell them exactly what happened. It seems to us to be rank discrimination, unfair, unscientific, and illegal.
Felipe Sherratt is the president of the Tuna Association of Mexico. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.